Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A young man goes to see the doctor. He walks into the waiting room knowing something's wrong with him. And the nurse brings him back to see the doctor. He sits down. Finally, the doctor walks in. He begins to describe some of his symptoms, some of the things that he knows are wrong. And the doctor looks back at him and says, "Well, do you want to be made well?" Seems like kind of a silly question for a doctor to ask, right? He's come to the doctor, waited in the waiting room, then brought back into the office, met with the doctor. Well, of course he wants to be made well. But maybe it is an important question. The doctor goes on to describe some options for treatment, some things that could be very painful for him, and yet in the end will make him well. And the young man says, "I just want you to give me medication that will make the pain go away. That's all I care about." There is a reason why God gives us pain, why he gives us guilt, why he gives us struggle, why we feel burdened, why we feel uncomfortable, why we feel at all. There's a reason for all of that. God wants to teach us something about what it means to want to be made well. Before we can even be made well, he wants to teach us what it means to want to be made well, and what it's going to take to be made well. And ask us that important question before we go any further today. Do you want to be healed? Maybe it's a more important question than we realized. And it's the question he asked for this man. There was a feast that the Jews were having, and Jesus went to celebrate it. He went to Jerusalem and entered by a gate where the shepherds would bring their sheep to drink at a little pool outside the wall. Inside the wall was a special pool that had been prepared, and they had irrigated the water from outside to inside to fill this pool where people would go to be washed. People would go there who were sick, people who were blind and lame and paralyzed, and they'd go there with the hope of being healed. Here is a man right in front of Jesus who had been sick for 38 years. Most of his life was nothing but sickness. He'd been paralyzed, unable to walk, laying on a mattress pad that people had to carry around to get him from place to place. And Jesus sees the man who he knows has been lying there, not gotten to the pool like everybody else, and he asks him this question: "Do you want to be healed?" Kind of a dumb question to ask, don't you think? I mean, obviously, for a couple of reasons, this man wanted to be healed. First of all, Jesus knows what's in his heart. Jesus knows he came there to be healed. He knows what the man intends. Plus, the man is obviously sick, and everybody else is sick, and they're coming there for this purpose. Why would Jesus ask this question? Well, it is the most important question of all. The man begins by listing all the reasons why he hasn't been healed. All the things he's been thinking through in his mind about this question. It's a silly question, do I want to be healed? Let me tell you why I haven't been healed. Notice he doesn't really answer the real question, do you want to be healed? But tells all the reasons why he hasn't been healed. Now, you could take these almost as excuses, but you got to give the guy a break. He can't walk. And everybody is pushing ahead of him, cutting him off, getting to the pool sooner than him. He can't get there. No one's been there to put him into the pool. His answer really reveals a deeper problem. He's alone. Nobody's taking him to the water. Nobody's helping him. Nobody's at his side. He's there alone, which I believe is the reason why Jesus notices him, singles him out, has this conversation that nobody else appears to have heard. isolation makes sickness all the worse. Doctors will tell you, sociologists will tell you, that if you isolate, if you stay to yourself and keep all your problems to yourself and keep it all within, it's only going to get worse. Do you want to be healed? He's looking to the pool for answers, but really, where are the people? Where are the promises? Where is God? When this man is so close and yet so far away. Often, our sicknesses are never just physical. The physical affects the mental. The mental is part of the spiritual. The spiritual affects the mental and the physical, and it's all tied together in what it means for us to not be well. In Isaiah chapter 1, we read there, the prophet Isaiah speaks of this sickness. He says, "Why will you still be struck down? Why will you continue to rebel? The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faints. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but bruises and sore and raw wounds. They are not pressed out or bound up or softened with oil." In other words, the whole nation of Israel was not well. And Isaiah is addressing a deeper problem that's at stake. Sometimes we can get so focused on what we think is the solution, getting to the pool, getting to the doctor, taking the right medication, finding the right answer online, that we miss out on what's a deeper problem. We're focused on the ailment, but we're not looking at the promises. That's why it's so important for a congregation, just like Israel, to be aware of this when it's happening in our midst, and to look around the congregation and see the people in your midst that are isolated. People that are not here today because anxiety or depression or some sort of struggle they're having has kept them from coming today. When's the last time you've called these people? When's the last time you've reached out to them or sent them a card or given them a Bible passage? Or maybe one of these people is you. And you're even here today, but you feel more alone than you ever have. Are we aware of how that sickness doesn't just affect the one individual, but it's part of the whole communion, part of the whole body? So Jesus says to the man, verse 8, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." Easy for Jesus to say. Easy for us to say. Get up, take up your bed, and walk. It's such a simple phrase, such a simple answer. Just one little sentence. There's nothing dramatic, no big show. And you have to notice this about Jesus' miracles. His miracles are never meant to put on a big show. They're never meant for him to get all the people together so they can watch this amazing thing he's going to do. And they can praise and glorify him for it. This, for all we know, is done just between the man and Jesus in one simple sentence. In secret. Jesus is teaching us something about the simplicity of his word, and it has to do with why we're here today. It has to do with worship. Whenever you see Jesus doing miracles, coming into the temple, coming into the synagogue to teach or preach or heal, it's all teaching us something about the same things he wants to do today, here in our midst. He comes with simple words. The ultimate goal of Jesus' ministry was to deal with the root cause of it all. What was behind it all? Sin is behind it all. Paul in Romans describes sin as a power that works in the world, a power that works in death, a power that works in everything cursed or broken or fallen. The root problem is sin. Isolation, not just from the real health we want to have, but from God. And Jesus comes with the solution. Pain is what alerts us to the problem. There's a good reason why your kids put their hand on the stove. It's important that they don't have neuropathy. It's important that they can feel the pain, get burned, and learn, wait a second, I shouldn't be putting my hand on the stove. Pain is alerting us to a problem, and it's more than just treating the symptoms of it. Sometimes we go to the doctor just trying to treat the symptoms or escape the pain or treat the disease, but Jesus wants to deal with something deeper than that, and that's why he says, my Father has been working, I have been working, and it is the Sabbath. Do you want to be healed? Many of the Jews who were in the crowd there did not understand this. They didn't get the root problem. They just wanted to treat the symptoms. Verse 10 says, the Jews from the crowd said to the man who had been healed, it is the Sabbath, the day of rest, and it is not lawful to you to take up your bed and be walking around. You're doing too much work on the Sabbath. They had completely misconstrued what the Sabbath was all about. They don't notice Jesus. All they notice is what's going on outwardly. Jesus wants us to look past the outward and see what's behind it, the inward. All they were concerned with was maintaining their status, maintaining their control. It's the way we've always done things, and we're going to keep doing it that way. They didn't understand the true meaning of the Sabbath and just wanted to keep this system in place of how to do your works the way God wants you to do them and do them right, and everything will be okay. They weren't teaching people to go right to God or to go right to Jesus. It reminds me of a movie. Someone recommended this movie to me. It was called Joshua. And it's the 2002 version. Don't get it mistaken with the other one. The 2002 movie, Joshua. And the story of the movie is Jesus coming back in our time. What would happen if Jesus came to a small community in our time and nobody knew it was Jesus? He went by the name Joshua, which is the Hebrew name for Jesus. He comes to this small town. And there's one particular scene that was recommended to me. He comes to this small town and he finds a tent revival. One of those big white tents with a cross shining and glowing in the darkness where the people have gathered for a great ceremony, a healing by a miracle worker on the stage. So Joshua walks in. He sees this revival service taking place and he notices a girl sitting in the third row with black sunglasses on. She's been blind since birth, and she's sitting there watching intently on the edge of her seat, hoping that this healer will call on her. The healer is up there preaching a message of salvation. You need to be healed. You need to be saved. You need to believe. And then he chooses a woman. Not the one with the sunglasses, but another pretty woman in the front row. Puts his hand on her head, and in a moment, she's healed from all her problems. Whereas the woman that's been blind since birth doesn't get the healing. And there, Joshua sees this whole thing takes place, and he walks up, and he says to the man in front of all the people, you don't have to do this. You don't have to do it this way. Then he turns around to the woman with the sunglasses, kneels down next to her with his hands on her head, prays, and she can see again, and he walks out the curtain, isn't seen again. Sometimes we get caught up in the show, but faith, as it really is trusting in God's promises and his word. We don't need a big show like Benny Hinn, who is an actual real preacher and will stand up on stage and tell you that he's going to heal you. He's a televangelist, and he'll stand before these crowds, and I watched a video of him, and he's knocking people over here, and he's knocking people over there, and he's knocking you over. And then they're singing, and he's walking around. But there's a funny thing about Benny Hinn, is you won't see him taking that miraculous power and going over across the street to St. Jude's Children's Hospital. You won't see him walking up to the cancer ward and going next to the bed of an innocent child that's suffering from cancer and knocking him over with healing. There's something that just doesn't sit right as you're asked to call in and donate money at the end. Jesus comes because it's not a glorious show about all the things you could be or could do. It's dealing with something so much deeper. And our worship service is about a healing that goes so much deeper than any physical problems you might have. You don't have to do it this way. Jesus appears and disappears. And the question is, will we recognize him when he comes to find us? Jesus says in another place, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Because the Sabbath was meant to be a day of rest. Not rest as in something you need to do or a rule you need to keep, but rest for your soul. It's stepping into the doctor's office to deal with the real pain and problems and letting Jesus work things out, because Jesus is working. He calls us to the pool of water, not because this water was something special that I brought from some miraculous pool called Bethesda. This was ordinary tap water. What makes this pool worth something is that Jesus has spoken into it and spoken over it and spoken on to two people today his miraculous healing, forgiving, restoring power. Baptism is a work of God. And the point is not to glorify us, but to glorify him. Do you want to be healed? So Jesus finds this man in the temple later on. And he says to him, "See, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you." What was the real concern Jesus had? What could be worse than being paralyzed? What could be worse than laying on that bed and not being able to get to the pool or do what you want? And what could be better than being healed from that? Well, Jesus says, what could be worse is that after all of this is said and done and you celebrate this new life you have, being able to walk and do the things you wanted to do, is that you forget about me and you go back to sin. Jesus has come to deal with sin. He's come to visit us who are lost in sin or dying in spiritual paralysis to heal and deal and make us feel. And when he makes us feel, we can feel what sin is. Candace and Chloe, every one of you, are always growing in an awareness of what sin is. Becoming more and more sensitive to the ugliness of sin. That's our growth in Christian faith, is more and more awareness to the ugliness of sin, so we can truly feel, on the other hand, what the beauty of God is. What the beauty of God is and the freedom of walking with Jesus is like. It's to see Jesus working in every nook and cranny of your life in order to bring about the ultimate healing. Do you want to be healed? So a man goes to his doctor. He knows why he needs to be there. He knows he has all of these symptoms, but when the doctor asks him, "Do you want to be made well?" is he ready to answer that question? Do you want to be made well, or do you just want the medication? Do you just want the pain to be taken away? Just want to cope with the struggle? Just want to shift the blame? Just want to escape and feel numb? When you come to church, do you really want what Jesus is giving you? The ultimate healing comes in Jesus. And he will heal you. First, he'll heal all of your spiritual ailments. And in the end, on the last day, he will heal everything. His final return means a healing of your complete body and self. And so we live now by faith in God's promises, faith even in the midst of pain for 38 years, to find God's purpose, to find his testing, to find a witness, and know God ultimately will heal you and you can have hope now and in eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.